Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. If you're listening to this on shortwave radio, you can find our website at the God School, not simply type in thegodschool.com. For over 14 years, we have been making our best attempt to shine a light on God's Word that those to whom God has given eyes to see and ears to hear might be edified and encouraged in this journey of faith that we're on. In Psalm 36, it says in the 9th verse, "For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light," King James says, "shall we see light?" I would say, as one of faith, in thy light do we see light. We've said many times, and we are certainly not the ones who came up with this understanding. We came to understand with those that went before us that this Bible, called the Old and the New Testaments, are like this. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. I find it wonderful that as I was preparing for today's message, I came across that verse in Psalm 36, and a verse that had caught my attention earlier in the week that I was looking at very seriously comes out of the 26th chapter of Acts, where Paul is recounting his encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus as he's going to persecute Christians. And he recounts Jesus' words. He says, Jesus speaking to Paul says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee." Why? Jesus tells us why. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may find forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. How? By, Jesus speaking, by, and the Greek has a definite article, by the faith that is in me. Jesus speaking, by the faith that is in me. Another witness of that Old Testament phrase out of Psalm 36 is found in the book of Colossians. Speaking of what God is doing, Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, that is right, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, I'd have you know that this word found in Acts 26, sanctified, is of the same root as this word saint in the 12th verse of the first chapter of Colossians. Hagios, committed. Made us right to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Jesus said of his Father's word that he has delivered the word unto us, and that that word is true. Not true for a moment. Truth is truth. It is eternal. And God's word is eternal. I'm not an unconscious teacher. I was taught by a true pastor and teacher. And as last week we gave a foundational message, which was true, which is eternal, that is, that God is the boss, that is, that Christianity is God making us over, that is, making these marred vessels, making these cracked pots, if you will, over in the image of his Son. Dr. Gene Scott used what he called seven foundational, or he eventually called them nitro pills. And to any of you who know about nitro pills, when you need a nitro pill, you need a nitro pill. We have this wonderful promise of God that in his light we shall see light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. This is the good news of the gospel. We're being sanctified by the faith of Jesus Christ. But we are still in this present evil world. I choose not to make comments on the present political scene, evil as it is. I choose not to join with one worlders. I am here to minister to other worlders, to those to whom God chose for himself in Jesus Christ to give eternal life. But we still walk in this present evil world, and as a result of that, we may find ourselves in circumstance wherein they may be troubling to us. God has an answer, and it's found in the 37th Psalm, a Psalm of David, a man to whom God says he was a man after mine own heart. He, a saint of God, he, a sanctified of God, had a message for the saints of God. And I'm not going to go through the whole psalm, but I ask you to listen today. God says in the first verse, fret not. He says in the seventh verse, fret not. And he says in the eighth verse, fret not. Well, how do you keep from doing that? Well, God gives us an answer. We read in the third verse, here's how it begins to, here's how we can begin to eliminate fretting. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and truly thou shalt be fed. What's the second thing David tells us to do? Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, Dr. Scott used to say that third verse was in every promise box. Oh, yeah, he'll give thee the delights of thy heart. What this verse is saying is, delight thyself in the Lord. Be, as we said last week, be pliable as God is conforming us into the image of his Son. Delight thyself in the Lord. Say, thy will be done. Don't be moved by circumstance. Stay in the Word. I said third verse, that's the fourth verse. Fifth verse says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And King James translation says, and he shall bring it to pass. I want to talk about this word commit. This in the Hebrew is a word out of the old merchant camel train vernacular. And it's where the merchant would take the burden that he had on his back and he rolled it off onto the camel's back. What is it you're fretting about? God says, roll it off of your back and put it on my back. Commit. How do you do that? New Testament says, with the heart man believeth, with the mouth proclamation is made unto the Lord. Take your burdens to God. Roll them off with your mouth unto God. And it says, trust also in him. King James again, as I say, says, and he shall bring it to pass. Well, literally it is, the Lord knows, or the Lord works. The seventh verse says, and this is the fourth thing we're to do when we find ourselves in a fretting state of mind, a state of mind wherein we're worried, wherein we're worried about tomorrow. Well, folks, live in the day. Because what we're worried about for tomorrow, you know, tomorrow never comes because it is then today. And today, if you hear his voice, trust in him, delight in him, commit your way to him, rest and wait enduringly. I hate that word, patience. It doesn't have the meat of the word endurance. Like endurance. Like, as we taught weeks ago on the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit thy way unto him. Whatever is causing you to fret, commit it to God and rest, knowing the Lord knows and works. And rest patiently. Those are four things that if we find ourselves in a state of fretting, in a state of worry, that we do. I want you to listen to the responses that God does. In the 17th verse, it says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And we know the gospel of Jesus Christ is that the righteous shall live by faith. That is, those who are being made righteous by faith, not your righteousness, certainly not my righteousness, but God's righteousness, shall live by faith. And as it says in that 18th verse of Acts 26, by the faith that is in me, Jesus speaking. The 18th verse is a witness to that 5th verse, it says, the Lord knoweth, that is, the Lord upholdeth the righteous, the Lord does it with knowledge. The 23rd verse says, King James translation, listen, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The 24th verse says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. In this journey of faith, brothers and sisters, there is room for stumbling. But the stumbling does not conclude with being utterly cast down. Why? Because it says the Lord upholdeth him in his hand. This good man, this is a committed man or woman. It has nothing to do with your righteousness or my righteousness. It has to do with the one who has committed their life unto God, who is trusting in the Lord, who is grabbing hold of his promises. Here it is. Here's another promise found in this most wonderful Psalm 37. The Lord upholdeth with his hands, if I might, with the hands of the potter. It says, David in the 25th verse says, I've been young, and now I'm old, and I can testify to that. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I can tell you, folks, in my life, there have been what appeared to be circumstance which would have given me every right to fret about tomorrow. But I'm still here, and I've not had to beg bread. Praise God, who is faithful, who does what he says. God, does not forsake. He says in Numbers, I shall never leave you, nor forsake you. I don't care what circumstance you may think, or you are in. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Oh, hallelujah! The Lord forsaketh not his saints. Giving thanks unto God the Father, which has made us right for the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us in to the kingdom of his dear son. The Lord, 28th verse, forsaketh not his saints, they are preserved forever. Not that we might have a great life down here. That's not what Jesus came for. He came that we might have eternal life by the faith that is in him. Listen, it says in the 37th verse, mark the perfect man, that is Jesus, and behold the upright. He's the only upright. Jesus, for the end of that man is peace, shalom, health and wholeness. Reunited, brought or set together again in Jesus. Truly, they are evil times that we live in. I've been hearing recently some voices, even on a network such as Fox, talking about how, you know, we're in the times of tribulation. We're in troubling times, but this is not the tribulation, the great. God makes a distinction. That's a time when God pours out his wrath upon this earth. And as saints, whom God chose out from before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ for himself, we are no longer subject to that tribulation, the great. But God has something to say about the real transgressors. But the transgressors, it says in the 38th verse, shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. So is the righteousness, by the way. He is their strength in time of trouble. Don't listen to that person who says, if you're a saint, no trouble's coming in your life. God says it right here. In times of trouble, the Lord is our strength. And the last verse, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked. Yay! Lord, and save them because they don't sin, because they're righteous, because they go to church 3 times a week. No. And save them because they trust in him. Now, I'm not going to quite finish this message in the 30 minutes allowed on shortwave radio, thegodschool.com, if you want to hear the rest. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. If this were a dictionary, you could not find a better definition of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Greek cognate of the Hebrew name Joshua. Joshua is a hyphenated word. Joshua was Moses' helper's name, and Joshua means helper. But God says, don't call him Joshua anymore. Call him Jehoshua, contraction for Jehovah Joshua. Translation, Jehovah, our helper. Jesus, and deliverer. Christ, the Messiah, our deliverer. What's he going to deliver us from? The wicked? When choosing a name, they're instructed, Joseph and Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Cheer up, saints. As Dr. Scott used to say, it's going to get worse, but fret not. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in him. Commit, that is, with the mouth, thy way unto the Lord, and rest and wait enduringly because he shall help us and deliver us and deliver us from the wicked. He is our strength in time of trouble. And save us. This is a good foundation on which to build our faith for the many promises found in here, any one of which, if one of God's people would grab hold of it and act as though it's more real because God said it, God calls that faith. And stay there. For God knows, and he works, and he upholds, and he helps, and he delivers, and he saves. Because he has given us eyes to see and has given us light that we do see light. That is, through his word, we see Jesus Christ and God our Father. And we shall make it through 2021. A couple of things to my congregation I want to say. I want to remind you, this month is Tabernacles Month. This is a month where we make a special offering unto God, wherein the children of Israel on this day moved out of their comfortable dwelling places into booths, scooths, temporary dwelling places, to remind them of how the Lord preserved them as they trekked through the wilderness after their exodus from Egypt, wherein they gave 203 offerings of this 8-day celebration of God's care and His faithfulness, not only to His word, but to His people. I said two things. There's a comment section in the godschool.com. And those of you who do participate, who do listen, I'm not making a law of God here, but I'm sharing, you know, if you've been taught, you're to jointly participate. You're to tell the teacher that you're hearing the message. Because I want to hear it. I am encouraged by God's word. But folks, God brought you and me together. You have an obligation, as I have an obligation, to deliver this word, to minister to you saints in light. Let me know it. Stop making me ask for it every week. Stay in faith. And the help and deliverance and salvation of the Lord will continue with you because you trust in Him. And that's the God School for today.